I'd like to call the meeting of the Higher Education Policy and Finance Committee to order. And right off the top here, if you can find your minutes. Do we have them? Oh, today? I thought I'd pull it out. Anyway, would somebody like to make the motion that we approve the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I'd move the minutes.
Representative Norton moves the minutes from February the 16th. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved. And members, we are guaranteeing to get you out of here in 25 minutes with your help. Representative Banyan? I'd like to begin by moving your bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to move that House File 2210 pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. And I have an amendment.
And let's deal with the amendment right away.
Thank you. Thank you. I would move to get the bill in the shape we would like it to be in the DE1-2 amendment that should be in your packets.
I think we all have
If I may explain, yes. This bill, as originally conceived, dealt with public universities. Administration would have been done through a different agency. It came to numerous members from both sides came to us and asked that this idea be expanded to cover private colleges and universities. And basically to cover all higher education institutions, and it would be administered by the Office of Higher Ed in its current form. I've agreed to go ahead and put that in place so that everyone that I've spoken to would now be comfortable with the bill. I have not yet spoken with OHE about it directly. I've had signals that, second-hand conversations that would indicate that this isn't problematic for them. But if there's someone from OHE who would like to talk to that, I hope we have still time to do that. Anyway,
we need to act on the amendment.
If we could, please.
Yes. Any questions of the author? All those in favor of the DE1-2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah.
The amendment is approved.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you, members, for accepting the amendment. I have with me from the representing the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities today, J.D. Burton, who will talk to you in a moment about what's on the bill. This bill is designed to assist any student anywhere in Minnesota at any higher education institution to work out in Greater Minnesota. I'm not going to talk. I'm going to let the details be handled by Mr. Burton, but just to remind you, you've probably all seen the pictures of demography and what happens in Greater Minnesota to the age profile of our population over the next 15 to 20 years. It's you'll have a significant number of seniors. You'll have an echo of that of families in their 30s, but when it comes to folks in their 40s or folks in their 20s, it falls pretty dramatically over the next 10 to 15 years. Something that I'm sure we're all thinking about as we consider what happens with reapportionment here over the next day. But that's kind of something this bill addresses. It addresses the idea that people, as they think about it, would want to, as students think about where they want to take their first job, that we get them some way of considering whether or not they'd like to work in Greater Minnesota. Over 70% of the students I have who've been through my program end up working. I did a study to check this. My program at St. Cloud State end up studying somewhere in the Twins, end up taking a job somewhere in the Twin Cities. That's where we send our alumni letters to when we're asking them to send a little donation back to our university and our department. And I know 70% of my students didn't come from the Twin Cities. And the Twin Cities is a wonderful place, that's fine. But if we keep emptying out our cities in Greater Minnesota, and we have fewer and fewer people living there, one has to wonder how it's all going to work. And so I'll leave the details and the explanation to Mr. Burton and turn it over to him now.
Mr. Burton, welcome, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is J.D. Burton. I'm here on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. The coalition represents over 75 communities in Greater Minnesota. I want to thank Representative Banyan, Chair Nornes, and the members of the committee for the opportunity to speak about this issue this afternoon. The first question you're probably asking is, why is the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities in support of this bill, and why are we here promoting this program? And, well, it's basically two reasons. The first is that our members recognize that a healthy and successful business community means a healthy city for their residents. Our economic development well-being depends on both a healthy public and private sector. That's why over the past 5 months we solicited information from local chambers of commerce, EDAs, city members, foundations, and others to ask them what would help communities in Greater Minnesota and what would help our businesses grow and prosper for the future. And this program is one thing that was mentioned often. We also want to make sure that there are ample opportunities for students that are graduating from colleges to come to Greater Minnesota and raise a family, and because we know that keeping students in Greater Minnesota is a way to help our communities grow for the future. The bill itself would provide a small tax credit to a Greater Minnesota business who hires an intern from a Minnesota college, university, or higher education institution. It would be administered through the Office of Higher Education, who would help process the credits and work on the certification requirements. The student would have to be paid and receive academic credit, and then the business itself would have to certify that they would not have hired the student without the tax credit in place. You may also be asking why this program is just for Greater Minnesota and not for the rest of the state. And Representative Banyan alluded to some of that in his remarks, but I wanted to point to you a handout that we prepared that's in your packet that shows some of the data that we've done that shows the demographics changing in Greater Minnesota from 1 year to the next with age groups, excuse me. You'll see that Greater Minnesota's workforce has a larger percentage approaching or past retirement. Greater Minnesota also struggles to hold on to its population after the college years. There's actually slightly more people in Greater Minnesota between the ages of 18 to 24. But then the population shifts dramatically in favor of the metro area between the ages of 25 to 64, with the largest gap being between the ages of 25 and 34. There are also more people today with at least a two-year degree percentage-wise in the metro area across every age demographic. So this bill is attempting to help level out those disparities to a degree and increase the number of graduates who both look for work in Greater Minnesota but can also find work there. We believe that this program is good both for students and for businesses. Students in general, internships, as you know, are an excellent way to get students the work experience and connect with future employers. This bill would expand those opportunities for them because it's expanding more businesses that may be looking for interns that didn't before. The program would also expand those internships by about 1,000, meaning we could be up to 1,000 more programs available that weren't there before. And since the internship is paid itself, excuse me, we have students who may not have necessarily looked qualified before that may be able to qualify now. We also believe that the bill is good for businesses in Greater Minnesota, because it establishes that connection between a student and a business, introducing a business to the potential future employee. That not only builds a relationship between the student and the employer, but it also builds a relationship between the business and the college, the university, or wherever the student is coming from, which could create future potential intern opportunities down the road. It frankly also introduces students to businesses in Greater Minnesota communities that they may not know about or have not known before. So again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of this bill, on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities, and on behalf of the CGMC, thank you for your support for Greater Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burton. Any questions? Representative Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Burton, you've told us why the coalition supports it. Can you? Are there any business groups that will come up and testify in favor of it?
Mr. Burton.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if there's a business organization here that wants to do that. I do know that as part of our outreach efforts in developing it, we did speak to a number of local chambers of commerce across Greater Minnesota and EDAs who spoke to this legislation and spoke to the idea of supporting this type of idea in principle.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Burton, that's not my question. My question is, are there any business groups that support it? Not that you talk to about it, but that support it.
Mr. Burton.
Mr. Chairman, no, there isn't a business organization that's come to us officially and said they support it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Burton, the bill is expanded now. I'm looking, I hope, for a fiscal cost, and I only see one number on page 2, line 2.3. Is the total cost of this around $2.5 million? Is that correct?
Mr. Burton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, the cost, as we've estimated, would be $1.25 million per year.
But, Mr. Burton, we go over a fiscal
$2.5 million
cycle. So, and Mr. Chair, Mr. Burton, whose account would this be against? Higher ed or general revenue, or where are we going to get this money in this fiscal crisis that we're in?
Mr. Burton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, the bill as drafted does not identify a source beyond the general fund, so we have not identified exactly where this account would be coming from at this time.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Burton, then, is this bill going to ride in the tax bill, or is it going to go alone, or how is this going to be funded as a higher ed bill or a tax bill? What's your plan?
Mr. Burton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, the bill would go to taxes next. It would be up to the discretion of the tax committee to decide if they want to include it there or be sent back to higher ed. Our plan is to work with either of those committees to see that can go through.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Burton, then someone is going to be assessed this amount of money at some point. Is that correct?
Mr. Burton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, the payment would have to come from some point at somewhere in the process. Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, do you have a target number for anything yet?
We do not.
You do not?
No.
Mr. Burton, do you know if taxes has a target number?
Mr. Burton.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, I'm not familiar if taxes has a target or not.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Burton, just one more question. You've now given the authority to the Office of Higher Education to do this. Is there anyone from the office here today to speak to the bill? Can they come down and tell us what how they're going to handle this?
Identify yourself, please, for the record.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Tricia Grimes from the Office of Higher Education. Given the way the Office Amendment is drafted, we assume that we would operate this somewhat similar to the way we do the state work study program, where we have a fixed appropriation and we allocate it out to campuses based on enrollment or something such as like enrollment, some criteria like enrollment. We assume that there would be, under the author's amendment, roughly 120 institutions that would could participate. Probably some would choose not to. So that there would be more like, something like 60 probably are more likely to participate. So that we would end up allocating out, would be more or less on any given campus, but on average $20,000 in sort of say to each campus you could arrange internships that would be eligible for this tax credits until they you reach your campus allotment, which would average $20,000. That would be roughly 16 interns per campus on average. And if all of the 1% in administrative money went to the campuses, I'm not saying it would, but if it did, that would be about $200 per campus in administrative funds.
So Mr. Chair, Ms. Grimes, you have no problem handling the program then?
Ms. Grimes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, well, it's up to the legislature and its wisdom as to whether we end up handling this program or not, but we think it certainly could be done.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Grimes, what was your reduction in the last fiscal bill passed by the House?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, our administrative reduction was 5%.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Grimes, so we can cut you by 5% and still add new programs and it's okay?
Ms. Grimes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Pawlowski, the heavy lifting in this bill would be done on campus with the arranging of internships, supervising internships, following the students, reporting, and so forth. We do not, we are concerned that the 1% administrative money may be not enough, given that there would be some duties at our office as well as duties on the campuses.
Mr. Chair.
Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, that concerns me too. We have cut both the agencies and the campuses, both systems, significantly, historically. And yet, here's a program, worthy as it might be, that adds yet another burden with no support. So it's a curious bill.
Mr. Chairman, the
yes, Ms. Grant.
The 1% would be $12,500.
Representative Poppy, are you next?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. maybe I'll pick up, since Ms. Grimes indicated that the heavy lifting would be done on campus. Being a campus person myself, I know that we are, within the counseling colleagues, we've mm-hmm. reduced the number of people that we have. Our faculty are reducing the numbers. The workload is getting greater. So I'm curious now if there's somebody from local campuses or other places that would be coming forward to be able to talk about how that's going to work at each individual campus. Is there somebody that will be able to do that?
We have a volunteer. Thank you for coming down and identify yourself for the record.
Chair and committee, my name is Mary Rothschild. I'm an associate vice chancellor for teaching and learning at the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. I work in the system office in St. Paul. Senator Poppe, as to your question, I think there is some concern about the role of faculty and the management of the internship process. In general, though, we certainly support internships as very important opportunities for our students in the Minnesota State College and University system. We have research out of Indiana University, the Center for Postsecondary Research, that talks about the high impact practices for the benefit of what they call transformational learning for students. These high impact practices are things that essentially take students out of their comfort zone and often provide, in the case of internships, real life opportunities to experience a connection between their classroom learning and the real world work experience. Of the high impact activities, internships, service learning, community based learning, diversity, global learning are all things that I think could be learned through an internship activity. We think that the benefits, especially for underrepresented students, have been shown in this research and literature. They have higher degrees or higher rates of persistence in degree completion, higher GPAs, increases in critical thinking and writing skills, and higher overall engagement in their learning. So in general, we think that, you know, discovering kind of the relevance of their learning through these real-world applications is something of great benefit to students, and we would support just generally the notion of increasing the availability of internships for students in our system.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can appreciate that internships and practicums are an important part of an educational process, and it allows for a student to get real-world experience and be able to have that connection. That doesn't answer the question, though. The question is, on the local campuses, when we are stretched to the limit and we have fewer resources, now we're going to be adding on a burden that says that as local faculty that we're going to need to take on an additional burden. And you know, I know that as a faculty member, Representative Banyan is a faculty member. I believe it's been 5 years that our actual income's been frozen, salary's been frozen. We don't have any increases. The burden is great. And so I'm just, again, going to ask that question about if there's somebody locally. I appreciate that you're a vice chancellor in the system. Is there anyone locally that's going to be able to say, sure, we're going to take this on and do this and be able to handle it?
I think the one thing that needs to be pointed out, it's voluntary. Nobody's going to be required. No campuses will be required to do this.
With all due respect, Mr. Chair, I believe that if there's going to be an opportunity like this, I think it's going to be difficult for my college to say, you know, we're not going to do it, or a faculty member within a certain, in economics or in history to say, no, we're not going to do this, and we're going to only have certain people be able to do that. I think that that's probably not going to be a realistic outcome. If there's going to be an opportunity for it, many people are going to want to be able to do that. As I said, I think that internships and practicums are an important piece. Let me just ask this question. What is it that is going to prove that this is the outcome to go to? Maybe Representative Banyan has this. How would you expect that this is going to be successful?
Representative Banyan?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Poppe, if you'll read on page 3, lines 3-3 through 3-13, there are reporting requirements in the bill that will bring this back to you to tell you, first of all, what were the dollars spent, how much outreach did we get from this. And then in February of 2014, we would want to report back that would actually indicate how many students actually ended up placing at the places where they did their internship.
Mr. Chair, and I get, sometimes I think that I'm in a unique situation. I represent a community that houses a Fortune 500 company in Greater Minnesota. That's a rare thing. I know that Hormel Foods has an internship situation that they have 3-month and 6-month internships, and they've been doing that for many years, and they have brought many qualified students in and given them the opportunity to be able to participate in an internship, see what the work is like, see what the fit is like. And I'm just curious about other businesses, and I understand that businesses and chambers have been talked to, but you know, are there other businesses throughout Greater Minnesota that are actually already doing this kind of thing, and can we continue to just rely on the fact that we have businesses who also have a vested interest in keeping students and young people home and within their communities, and would be able to do this without the tax credit incentive as something that we can't afford anyway? And I'm just curious about that.
Well, Representative Mannion, have a response?
I'm not sure I have a great response to her last question. I'd actually wanted to respond to something she had said earlier regarding who on campus is going to do this. I don't know how your college is constructed, but in my school, college, university, there's an internship director by department. Oftentimes they do it out of Hyde and provide that service. I can tell you that it would be a good tool for us if we could find, right now, I don't know, again, don't know what your situation is, or there are other faculty here from different campuses, but on my campus, it's often the student that's bringing me the idea, bringing me the internship and saying, will you supervise it for me? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of a sudden we had businesses calling us and saying, we would like to take advantage of this. Can you help us find an intern? And we don't get that very much. We get it once in a while. We don't get it very much. I would like to be able to see. This would be an incentive for businesses. This is one of the things I'm not sure that the coalition had thought about so much, but certainly something I thought about when they brought me the bill was this might be an incentive for businesses to actually reach out to their local colleges and campuses and say, hey, we'd like to build a relationship with you, and this is, and there's a, yes, there's this little bit of incentive. Maybe they just haven't gotten around to doing it yet.
Mr. Chair, again, I would hope that businesses would recognize that having employees is an important aspect of their business growth, and that they would be reaching out and seeing that they have students locally. And you represent, I think, in the St. Cloud State University, it's either number one or number two in the state for the size of the universities. I'm from a small community in Technical College, and I'll tell you that we have many of our departments that are a single person. So we don't have an additional internship coordinator. We don't have people that are able to do, you know, they're teaching a full-time load. It's just going to be an additional burden, and again, with the cost cutting that's been done, it's going to be a difficult sell to be able to say, just take this on.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Poppy, I can tell you at least my experience has been that nobody in my college has received ever any release time to supervise internships. We wish we could, not there.
We have two other folks who would like to talk about the bill. And Mr. Burton, did you have a comment that you wanted to?
Mr. Chairman, no, I wanted to make myself available if there were other comments or questions.
Representative Rukavina?
Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan, I was just wondering here, did you request a fiscal note from the Department of Higher Education, Office of Higher Education, and then from Minsky, I guess, or whomever is going to be administering this on the local campuses?
Representative Banyan?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rukavina, we have not. We believe that that could be done when taxes looks at it. They would actually, there are costs. There's a limit on number on there that says how much this is going to cost.
What,
Representative Rukavina?
Mr. Chair, yeah, and I see that. You know, you're giving out possibly 1,000 of these and capping it at $1,250,000. But you don't do all the things here, King, on this. And your language for free. Somebody's got to do it, whether it's making sure that this company wouldn't have done this if they didn't get the tax credit, that nobody has previously participated in the program, and plus the whole administering of it, it costs money, you know that.
Representative Banyan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Rukavina, within the bill there's a 1% administrative fee that's allocated to go through Office of Higher Education. And as Ms. Grimes just testified to us, that would be able to assist campuses in administering the internship.
No. Mr. Chair, I don't think
Representative Rukavina?
Mr. Chair and members, I don't think it anywhere covers the cost of it at 1%, but, you know, I'm not in charge, and as Representative Poppy said, and I think Representative Pawlowski, we've had cuts after cuts after cuts here, and now we're doing another mandate, and I know you guys don't like mandates. So it's not that it's a bad idea at all.
Representative,
good ideas cost money, too, yeah. Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm.
Representative Depke, did you have a question?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just have one question, and it's primarily for Mr. Burton on the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. I am surprised that we haven't anyone from the business community to here to testify. I mean, I don't think, unless they know you're working on this, that my suggestion would have been to bring in people from the business community. They're the ones that are getting the tax credit. A lot of the internal organization of it, I think, is something that certainly up in Representative Rukavina's area, where they have technical jobs that are and engineers that they need as we try to develop the mining industry and other things in the northern part of the state. I understand what your issues are. Nobody wants to have the northern part of our state just nursing homes. I mean, because, and I know that you've got them galore up there, but I think that we want our young people to understand what the north, how beautiful it is, what the advantages are of living up there. But the businesses up there need the talent. They're the ones that are going to be incentivized to work with you, and to they're going to be getting the tax credits, and they're going to be helping you figure out how to accomplish what it is you want, because the advantage is to them, not just your cities and not just all the other people up there. But I think that that's really important, and I think that's a piece in my recommendation that you should fill in before it goes this bill goes anyplace else.
Mr. Burke.
Chairman Norner's representative, yeah, thank you very much. You've made, those are the excellent points that we have been sort of focusing on as we went through this effort. As I mentioned in my testimony, this bill is part of a larger five-point recovery plan that the coalition had been working on with many local chambers of commerce across Greater Minnesota and others. And you hit the nail on the head in that keeping those businesses working well and giving more opportunities for them to bring students up there helps our communities, and that's the bottom line for this legislation, is finding a way to maybe help incentivize a few more opportunities that may not have existed before. In regards to speaking with the business community, whether it's a state chamber or other representatives of that community, I can't speak on their behalf, but we certainly have reached out to a number of organizations like that about these types of efforts, and I would be happy to circle back after this committee with them.
Yes. Representative Demke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your indulgence on this, because it's important point is the fact that I'd be very concerned if I were you that you don't have businesses beating down your door to get this tax credit in these economic times, to have for $1,200 for a summer to have an intern that is in a certain major and wants to take a job in the northern part of the state for $1,200 for 3 months of work. I think that is a good incentive for those businesses to start beating down your door.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few comments and observations. First, I teach in a very small business program at a small college in Rochester, and I'm glad that you've added the private colleges on it. But, and I supervise anywhere from 6 to 10 internships in a given year. I have 3 right now when I'm not there and I'm in session, so it can be done. A couple of things. First of all, it's difficult to find enough employers to find very good and qualified internships to place people in, and many times when I do find them, they're not paid, and I make it clear to the student that a lot of times internships won't be, And so the element that I want to bring up is in the fact that if we could get a tax credit, because what we're forgetting about this whole thing in terms of looking at the cost of education is the student. And if I could get a paid internship and that could help go towards their tuition, that would be, you know, on their part, fantastic. So I applaud the effort. You know, I know this is going to work its way through a number of additional committees. I'm concerned about how we're going to pay for it, too. But I laud you for the effort, and I hope that we can make it happen.
At this time, I'd like to call on Amanda Bardoner. Welcome, Amanda. Identify yourself for the record, please. Yep.
Chair Nornes, committee members, for the record, I'm Amanda Bardoner, state chair of the Minnesota State University Student Association. As you know, 6 of our 7 campuses are in greater Minnesota, and so therefore we would support this proposal. This proposal grew out of conversations with students across the state, and when presented with the final idea, our students were really excited for the prospect of connecting with local businesses and the enhancement of opportunities that the bill would provide. First, internships are an excellent way for students to connect with necessary work experience and the future potential employers that we have across greater Minnesota. Like I said last week, I have experience working with an education that had response to the workforce needs. With my international marketing class and the work with Schaefer Ventilation that I had mentioned last week, and determining entrance strategies for countries in Latin America, and really learning about the global marketplace. Through my experience in Brazil and with that company, I have known what it takes for me to then potentially find a career with that company or with other companies. And without that experience, I would not have known of such a global company in the regional area of where my school is. That experience also makes you aware of the challenges that we face as students and also throughout our global economy. Through those internship programs, these companies build ongoing relationships with our universities as well and allows other students to take advantages of these experiences in future years and enhances the business climate in that region. This proposal recognizes the changing face of greater Minnesota, higher education, and the workforce. In the past, students would seek internships to gain the experience for their careers. Now, increasingly, competitive internships are more required. It is also often left up to the students to connect with those internships or find that opportunity to get that future job. Most students look to the well-known larger companies, as was mentioned, in mostly the metro area because information is more readily available for those internships, and those are the known companies to students. My experience in class and travel, like I said, brought me those practical skills, but I would not have known of those smaller companies that often have greater potential for our students in greater Minnesota. As I said last week, a student was then hired by that company, so it shows that those connections are working. In this bill, the students receive academic credit and are paid a wage. This means that any student can qualify regardless of their academic background or their financial situation. This is huge because oftentimes we see that students with a more difficult financial situation are less likely to apply for those internships because they need to work those low-wage, minimum-wage jobs that do not provide the experiences that they gain during an internship. This proposal is especially helpful to those low-income and first-generation families and providing the opportunities to those students that they need to succeed in the future. I would stand if there are any questions.
I don't see any right now, so thank you for your testimony. And if Dan Larson would come down. Welcome to the committee, and again, identify yourself, please.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Dan Larson. I'm the administrator of the Minnesota Rural Counties Caucus. That's a group of 24 counties in greater Minnesota that operate as a coalition on issues of importance to greater Minnesota. I want to recognize, if I could, my chairman is in the crowd. Mike Hansen is a Cochinchin County Commissioner, so he's sitting over there. So I better not mess this up. He pointed this out that this is a timely issue. In the newspaper today, there's a story on the need for skilled labor. So very timely issue, and we wanted to bring this up. Mr. Chairman, members, I'll make my comments general and brief. We do think and recognize that internships are a pattern to a pathway to employment. This is a tool to provide continued strength to the economic viability of Greater Minnesota. So skilled workers are a lifeline and continued success of those businesses, and that this legislation provides an incentive for those, for skilled workers to either come to Greater Minnesota or to stay in Greater Minnesota to build their careers and their families. So we ask you to support this bill, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Any further questions? Otherwise, we will turn it back to Representative Banyan for any closing comments.
No, I thank you for the conversation. This bill, after it goes to taxes, if we need to bring it back here because it's going to be on our budget, I would probably ask that it return back here from there. So that I think that's a reasonable request, and we should be careful about where it goes. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll renew my motion to pass this bill and have it re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you, sir. As amended.
So Representative Banyan renews his motion. Any further questions, comments? Not all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Bill moves on to the Committee on Taxes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we are adjourned.